Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Okayest Moms the Podcast. Brittany here and Heather over there.
Hello, over there.
I don't know where that came from.
We're still working on the intros. They're surprisingly difficult.
Intros and outros are not our thing.
Is outro a word? I know. It stands to reason, right?
We've been recording at earlier in the day and I've gotten used to it so quickly. Now at night, I'm like,
Okay, we are back with one of our happy hour episodes today, and we have Jessica from Frosting and Fringe. So these happy hour episodes were kind of designed because for both Brittany and I, like, the best form of self-care for us is a night away from our families, which sounds terrible, but, you know, just catching up with girlfriends over some appetizers, a drink, and 2020 has really torpedoed all of that. So we thought, why don't we just turn that into a podcast? So here we are.
Here we are. And this week we have an amazing podcast guest, Jessica from Frosting and Fringe. She is the owner and lead designer of Frosting and Fringe Events, Sacramento-based balloon and events company. And she is a mom to a 2.5-year-old and one on the way. Okay, so we'll be back with Jessica after this quick break. Mother's Day is just around the corner, and what better way to embrace the Okayest Mom spirit than with some Okayest Moms merch?
Our Etsy shop has shirts, mugs, and we just got these new travel mugs in, which are my absolute favorite. I may not be traveling anywhere other than like around the block to take Isla to school, but it's still handy just having coffee around the house because it's always warm and who doesn't always need that? These make great gifts for your best mom friend or just for yourself. Find the link in our show notes or at okayestmoms.com.
Okay, so as we mentioned, we're here with Jessica. She is the owner of Frosting and Fringe, which has started as an event business and has kind of morphed into balloon surprise delivery. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk with you guys.
I'm actually going to let you explain Frosting and Fringe better because I did not do it justice.
Okay, so I don't think I've ever really shared this publicly, but I did a deep dive for you guys. I went back into the archives. Frosting and Fringe actually started, which surprised myself, in 2014 as just a blog. Post-married, started as a blog, and I did like DIYs and baking, and it was just like a creative outlet to get through like my day job, just kind of gave me another something to do. And then I quickly was kind of like, I don't know, I like interaction with people. I want something more. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. So at the end of 2015, I launched what was called Frosting and Fringe Gifts, which some of my like longtime followers might know, where I've always been a huge supporter of supporting small business. I'm like very much a cheerleader for that, especially women-owned business. So I created these gift boxes where they were filled with different items for different occasions like birthday, new baby, bride-to-be, and I sourced them from small businesses across the country and put them in these boxes. The problem is it's really hard to have an inventory-based business and work full-time, and it just kind of felt like I was like hitting a wall. And so I was just getting burned out. And I was like, this is not my calling. It didn't feel like it. So I really just let Frosting and Fringe go for a long time. And then in 2019, it became the version it is today, Frosting and Fringe or Frosting and Fringe Events, where it was kind of I knew I didn't want to do weddings. No offense to wedding planners. Brides just aren't my thing. I was a bride too. And, you know, I give wedding planners so much credit. And I also think there are so many amazing wedding planners in Sacramento that I was like, let me like niche down a little. And so, my background was in nonprofit events. And when I had my son is when I knew I kind of want to do this on my own, set my own hours, be a more present mom. So I was focused on corporate events and social events with balloons on the side. And then COVID hit and balloons became the star of the show really quickly. And it's just kind of blown up from there.
I love that. I really relate to your having an inventory-based business sentiment. I don't know if you knew this, but I technically still have a product-based business.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And since we started OKS Moms, I've scaled way back on that. Mm-hmm. It's still an Etsy shop that basically runs itself. I just like check in a couple times a week, but it's hard. And when I was running all of that out of my house, it was exciting. And then it became like a drag.
Yeah. Yeah. And they always, you know, the like the really cheesy saying that's like, if you love what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life, which I don't know if I totally believe that, but I just knew that it wasn't bringing me a ton of joy. And with balloons and events, at least I'm physically seeing the client or seeing who it's being gifted to and seeing their reactions. When I was just putting a gift box in the mail, I'm like, hope you like it. Like,
right. You feel like you're just a shipping machine at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. So, it's crazy the evolution that it's taken. I'm really happy, but I think some people would maybe look at my page now or think like Crossing a Fringe came right before, you know, COVID and all of a sudden it kind of blew up. But in reality, it's been like a grind for a really long time to try to see like what works, what I enjoy doing, what clients and customers are responding to, and how I can fit in motherhood with this job.
So what kind of balloon, keep saying balloons, like what did these balloons look like? What do you do with them? You have to like describe it for us.
Totally. Okay. Yes. Audio podcast. Here we go. when last March or April, when we all shut down, I created what was called like doorbell dash bouquets. And I had just posted a graphic about it on social media thinking like Party City's closed, all the big box stores are closing. People can't get their hands on helium. I have the supplies to do this. Why don't I create these bouquets for really any occasion that anybody can send and I will deliver and drop them off at your door. So my standard bouquet is like includes one big anchor balloon, 4 of the 18-inch Mylar balloons and a bunch of latex. And I just try to find like source really cute kind of ones that maybe you haven't seen before that bring a lot of color and joy and includes a little handwritten tag. And that's kind of what took off initially. And I was just getting blown away with orders. And I had luckily, I was able to get featured on Good Day Sacramento, which was mostly for the doorbell dash bouquets, but I also partnered with a cookier, Confections and Confetti. And we did a cookie balloon combo for graduation, and people could have them delivered right to their door. And that was really popular. And so basically it was the balloon bouquets for a while. And that was a hustle until people got smart enough to do the drive-by parades. And that just took it to a whole different level where now you're getting these big balloon garlands installed on the front of your house. So your poor kid who's turning, you know, 10 or whatever can still feel celebrated as their friends drive by your house.
Well, I think so. If you follow our blog, you may have seen Harrison's golden 9th birthday, and Jessica did that balloon garland that was on the front of our house. And it was gorgeous. And she did it in like 2 seconds. It was the craziest thing, but it was such a cool way to celebrate and not, you know, like, and still be safe. I think I was very naive when all this went down last March. And I was like, oh, Sully's birthday might be affected, which is in June, but Harrison will be fine. It'll be no big deal by then. So it was
great. I remember you thinking that. And I was like, Okay. Well, I love that you shared kind of the evolution of frosting and fringe, because from the outside looking in, it looks like, wow, she was at the right place at the right time. And to hear you say, you know, you tried so many other different things. I mean, but you kind of were at the right place at the right time, because it was Mother's Day, graduations, mm-hmm. then it was Father's Day. And on top of that, just people looking for any way to send some cheer about that time. And then, like you said, like the drive-bys, everybody needed some balloons.
I feel like I was smart and just that I pivoted really quickly and realized, like, I just took advantage of things being closed and knowing that I could continue to be open. And that's just what really helped take it off. And then, you know, even someone like, if Brittany was to send one person a bouquet and that person didn't know about me, now they know, right? And so now they're going to post about it or tell their friends if they had a positive experience. And so that word of mouth is really just kind of what triggers it. And that's probably my biggest referral of clients is word of mouth still.
That's awesome. Well, it's been really fun to watch. And Brittany and I have commented so many times that it's so enjoyed watching small businesses pivot and just the amount of creativity that we've seen come from just thinking outside of the box. I mean, obviously most people you were forced to, you had no other option, but just the ways that people did it is just so exciting to see.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of balloon artists, I think that's such a weird kind of word. I just consider myself more of like a maker, I'd say, or but a lot of people who have been like OGs in the balloon business for a long time will say, I'm sick of doing these small bouquets. I'm used to doing these massive events with these huge budgets where I was putting balloons all over convention centers and just taking huge pay cuts. But for me, my balloon evolution started basically last March, April, and that's kind of what I'm used to. And I enjoy the interaction on a smaller scale because I feel like I'm reaching more people. But, you know, the hard part was, is since I did start in events, I did lose a lot of corporate contracts, which were a lot of money that was coming in to support my family. And so the pivot just came almost out of necessity. Like, how are we going to turn this around? I'm not going to say I like balloons better, but I do like the hands-on creativity of it. And I hope it doesn't go away.
I hope not either. I think Heather and I were just talking about before you hopped on, like, we hope we can keep some of the, you know, lower key different pivots that we've had to do in the past year. You know, I think it's a better way of living. Not everything is a better way of living, but there are certain things I want to take from it for sure.
The simpler things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey, I was all about the drive-through birthday party. It lasted like 30 minutes. I didn't have to clean my house. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to like plan for days and days on end. It was great. It was, everybody was happy and it was over. Yep. No small talk.
I know. I feel like a lot of moms that contact me are like so bummed that it's drive-by or whatever, especially when it's more of like a milestone. And then afterwards they're like, that was epic. And I hope that never goes.
Well, and I've been saying this the whole time, and the kids are doing as well as the moms are doing. So often I think it's the parents who are more disappointed in things because the kids don't know what they're missing out on. I mean, my son turned 4, we did a drive-by birthday for him, and he didn't care. He just cared about like, when can I eat my cake and can I open these presents?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm doing since I'm pregnant with baby number 2, we're doing sort of a walk-by, drive-by, small baby sprinkle for just people that are local. Because I was going through the same emotions of like, well, this isn't kid number 1, so do I need to do anything? But also like, I want to acknowledge that like, this is very likely our last child and like that she's coming and this is exciting and to do something. And so as I kind of got into planning, my sister is hosting it and we were chatting. I was like, you know, it's a little bit nice not having to do all the games and sit and have people watch you open things. It's more like just get to say hi and here's your little basket of goodies and so good to see you and thanks for the diapers, you know, and still feel like even just if we're masked and you're 10 feet away, being able to see them physically, I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that's cool. It kind of gets rid of all the annoying parts of stuff like that.
Yeah, no. If it was baby number 1, I think I'd feel more bummed. But since it's the second, I'm like, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when is baby number 2 due?
The first week of May. So like 2 months.
Oh my gosh. So how are you preparing for her arrival? I mean, like as far as like motherhood in general or in the business, I mean, it's going to be a lot harder.
I know. And the plan was always scarier.
I already know. I project a lot of my own issues onto new mothers.
How are you going to do it?
That's entirely my fault.
No. The real question is, like, I think it's similar to having your first, where it's like, you don't know until you're in it, you know, and I hear, I don't know if you guys have any opinions on this, but some moms are telling me, like, 0 to 1 was the hardest because you're living your life and all of a sudden you're like, I have no life. And then some moms are like, 1 to 2 is just a complete so hard. So I'm trying to be mentally prepared, and also luckily my husband's job gives him a really good paternity leave, and he'll be home that first chunk of time with us. My parents and his parents live close by and are in our dedicated bubble, so that will be good. But in terms of what, like, the weekly and daily schedule, it's just going to have to be, I know when I'm going to stop taking balloon orders. I know that I'm only taking one job for the entire month of May. People are contacting me about graduation and it's kind of like, I'm not going to put anything on the books. I don't know. I hope this is a healthy child. I hope I have a normal delivery, but you just don't know, you know?
Well, and that's the challenge with having your own business, is that it's great that you are your own boss and have your own flexibility, but there's no, I mean, you, it's you, there's nobody else to, like, step in for you or something like that. You kind of just have to set it out a little bit.
Totally. And the ideal plan was, oh, when baby number 2 comes, we'll put, my son's name is Rylan, and he'll be in, you know, preschool a couple days a week and stuff. And we still haven't decided if we're comfortable doing that. So I know that socially he needs it. And it'd be great for him, especially as when she comes, he'll be nearing 3. It's just like, as a parent, that's a really hard decision.
Well, yeah, especially having a brand new baby at home. I mean,
right.
Yeah. Oh, that it's so hard. Once you do get something figured out, then something changes.
I know. That's why our plan is like no real plan when she comes. Like, let's just figure this out.
I think that's best. I think that's a good way to go into it, because nobody can prepare you. Just like having one child, nobody can really prepare you. But I will say that 0 to 1 was much harder for me than 1 to 2.
What about you, Heather?
So my kids are 20 months apart. And honestly, like, I just don't remember anything.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
I just remember it all being really, really hard. But my husband also worked graveyard shift when my son was born. Neither of them like to sleep. And I cannot function with no sleep. Like, it was like a very dark time in our house.
Yeah.
And on top of that, my son is like, he thinks he's Evel Knievel. And so he was like crawling out of his crib when he was not even 2. He was like riding the garage door up when I was just telling Brittany this. In fact, a friend of ours just had their son learn how to crawl out of the crib. And it, when they told me, it like sent all these emotions, like all these memories came like flooding back, like a movie montage. And I just, so like, I had to laugh when I said I was projecting my thoughts onto you, because like, I notice I do that now. It's just like all of my, like, I just have this recollection all at once of all the like terrible things that my kids have put me through. And I'm just like, no, don't do it.
I know, it's hard. And we're like, you know, still deep in it in a lot of ways. And I felt like when we're trying for baby number 2, you don't know how long it's going to take, or you can't really plan. We were talking about sort of the luck, I say in quotations, if you will, of hitting all the big seasons like Mother's Day and graduation. Well, now look, I'm having a baby the beginning of May. There's no Mother's Day coming in. I don't think I'm going to be hitting too much of graduation. So it's just kind of like, I feel like, We just gotta roll with it. And we're in the trenches with Rylan too. We're potty training, like, we're in it.
Honestly, I think that's the best attitude you can have, because when my second came along, I was very much like, we got this, I can control everything, I can do it. And it blew up in my face. So I honestly think that going in with no plan is the best plan.
Sitting in what's supposed to be her nursery, and it's just my husband's office and my office and just shit everywhere. So we've got a lot to do.
I saw you were building a new office, your own space. That's exciting.
Yeah, we're super excited. We were looking to move to a larger home, and just the market is awful right now. And so we decided we were going to stay here and that we were going to put a detached office in our yard. We started filing for permits in September. We got them in like end of January, I think. So it took forever. And, but it's going well. Construction has started. We had our first inspection today. We passed. Concrete's getting poured on Thursday morning. So yeah, things are happening, and it should be completely done. Well, I'm going to knock on wood, but it should be, it should be done in April. And so we're very pleased.
That's so exciting. I'm so jealous.
I can't wait. Plus it's like, balloons aren't the quietest. I'm gonna pick the quieter job.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask. How in the world do you keep your three-year-old away from the balloons? Because my kids, like, they see, even my oldest is six, like, still they see a balloon and they just like lose their minds. It's like a cat with a string. Like,
my 9-year-old loses his mind.
It's so funny because I got so many DMs about that at Valentine's Day when I posted like our playroom and living room full of balloons, and people are like, where's your son right now? And He's like just around them daily. And so if there's a cool new shape, like I blew up a dinosaur last week and he was like, whoa. But if it's just like normal, and he'll want to come in and be like, can I pet the balloon? And I'll be like, nah. And then he just kind of, he just leaves them alone, or he asks me to move them if they're in his way.
Mom, your balloons.
Yeah. Like if I have a grab and go garland that's like wrapped by the door and it's like in his path to go to the kitchen, he's like, he refuses to walk around it. Like it's not routine. So it needs to be moved. But I think he's just old news at this point. So
that's so used to it.
Yeah.
My husband actually has a very like strict no helium balloon policy in our house because
really?
Our kids have broken like 3 ceiling fans because they get and he's so tired of fixing them.
Wait, because they're releasing balloons into the heat, into the fans?
Listen, when I tell you my kids give zero shits, I am not kidding. Like, because, you know, like the balloons, they float to the ceiling and then they like always get sucked into the fan and then they just like wind around and he like, it's like his, like, I feel like every dad has like this like pet peeve where they like freak out and don't let the kids have fun. Like that's his.
That's amazing. Hey, you got to do what works for the family, right?
Listen, I can't listen to him take another string out of a fan. So,
sorry. Me here, you are a Bravo fan as well. Oh, yes. Do you watch all of the cities?
Unfortunately or fortunately, yes, but I just am picking up Jersey again this year, because Jersey for a long time for me was just too much of like family drama. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it felt almost too real, if you will. Like Teresa is like over the top, but I'm like, I don't need to see you yelling with your brother-in-law or your brother and your sister-in-law and everything. Like let's mix up the cast a little bit. But I know we all love the podcast Bitch Sesh. And I knew that they were covering it this season. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to watch the first episode and see if I'm in. And I watched it and I was like, dang it.
I'm in. Dang it. I actually took a hiatus from Jersey too, round about when the twins were on. Mm. I don't know if you know, I took like a 2 or 3 season hiatus because I was over it. And yeah. Teresa still gets on, like grates on my nerves. So I know.
I will watch every season of Trash. Ever, even if I hate it, even if it's a grind and I'm on my phone the whole time, I will watch it.
See, my big hope was, because I just basically love anything on Bravo, that Bravo was going to bring BravoCon to Los Angeles the following year. So let's just hope that when we, you know, reopen things, that happens, because that would be amazing.
We're going, girls trip.
Yeah.
Yes. I will forever kick myself for not going. That was... It needs to happen again. So speaking of Jersey, are you Team Jackie or Team Teresa?
I feel like, I mean, I think that the comment about Gia was awful, but I have to be Team Jackie because, I mean, unless Teresa's just been in the reality TV game for so long that she's like, let me just start spreading stuff. But she didn't just like tell the girls. She was like going around that party as if she was saying that
she had the good news to spread.
I thought that was just awful. It was just like, what a way to start a season, man.
I mean, his birthday, which his birthday party. It's so crazy to me. She is the dumbest of dumb.
I mean, you do have to give it to her. Like, she got the season going, but I'm just at this point where it's like, death to the OGs. Get them out of here. Mm-hmm. I want some fresh meat. I know all your tricks, Teresa. you've got one trick and you play it every other season, and we need something new.
Well, I have a theory. Since there are so few OGs left, I feel like Ramona called up Teresa, like, you got to start something or they're going to kick you off the show. Like, Ramona's calling all the OGs. She's calling up Kyle. She's like, you've got to start.
Why would Ramona care enough to like?
Ramona's not smart enough to do that.
Yeah. And she's not empathetic enough either. She doesn't care about other people.
That's why I think Salt Lake City was so good in like first franchise seasons anyways, because they can't, like, they don't know the game yet. And they're honestly just living their lives.
See, I think Jen Shaw knows the game, and that's why she was so over the top. At least I started the season that way. And then once she splashed the camera, I was like, no, maybe you just are crazy.
I think she just is that.
She is that too. And I think maybe that it's amplified, but they don't know the tricks of like, let me just start drama to start it so that I'm guaranteed a next season. Because I'm honestly going to be really surprised if they get rid of any of those Salt Lake girls next year. Although I feel like Meredith is just... She needs to go.
I'm sorry. If you're going to ask me why you would discuss your marriage, then we're done here. This is what we're paying you for.
He definitely does not know the game.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. They don't know to self-produce yet, or they don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Like LVP on Beverly Hills, she was the queen of that, to the point where it became almost like unenjoyable as a viewer, because it's like, you're just playing it right now, playing the game.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So you watched the Real Housewives of Atlanta episode with Bolo, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell us all of your Bolo thoughts.
My number one Bolo thought is, why all season were we watching him start in this cage only for the cage to be there for like 10 seconds of the episode? I thought we were going to get a full, as someone in events, I was expecting there to be this full outdoor like party spectacular with like Bolo, and the show was going to happen in this. And then it was like the girls just stood there and were like, hey, Bolo. And then they all went inside. And I was like, that cage was just there for a hello. And then we went inside.
Well, now we know why they were inside though.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Oh my gosh.
All I can say is I don't understand why they all, well, I guess I do and I don't, but they were all getting so mad at Kenya for playing detective. But it's like, you also all signed up for this reality show. And if Kenya wasn't doing that, like, I'm enjoying watching the aftermath now. I want to know who was in that room, right?
Right. Well, that's how I feel too. Like, I do not like Kenya, but she was doing what we needed her to do. So we knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm. See, I get that. I do. But number one, I have a deep-seated hate for Kenya. So anything she does, I just immediately hate. And two, even if Kenya didn't get to the bottom of that, these women still gave us enough that we don't need that.
No, like, I need more.
Yeah.
I always need more.
Well, obviously, but like, I don't
need a camera in with Portia and Bolo. I would watch
the camera.
Bravo After Dark.
But I don't need like them slandered and they're like,
no, it's ruined. Well, it came off very judgy, and like this was like
because a
very
Kenya,
like
of course.
Right. If she was just truly being silly and like judge and jury, let's get to the bottom of this, but she was taking it very seriously.
Well, and you guys are both caught up on the most current episode, right?
I was just gonna ask you the same thing. Yeah, I watched it.
But for then Kenya to just say that she did it all because she was jealous that Toya was with Portia, like, it's all just so bizarre. Bizarre.
But I think somebody in their confessional, and I don't remember who it was towards the end of the episode, was saying exactly what I was thinking, which is Portia is like basically single and eligible and she could do whatever she wants. But I don't know why, if she just came out and was like, oh yeah, I was with him. It was a great time, like moving on. I feel like no one would have really questioned that or been like, oh my gosh, they would have just been like, okay.
I think if it was anybody but Kenya trying to uncover it, I think she would have owned it. But the fact that it's Kenya, I think she's like, I'm just not even engaging with you at all because you're a psycho. Yeah,
that's true. I just feel like she made a way bigger deal about it, like excusing herself from the table and being like, this has been great. Yeah.
Well, and then Tanya, well, like maybe putting herself at the scene of the crime. What are you doing?
I know.
Okay. Two things. I feel like maybe Bolo asked Portia not to say anything. And the other thing, I think Tanya was trying to save Portia or like save Bolo's wishes or like go, you know, by saying she's in there, that means nothing happened, but the opposite happened. You know what I mean?
Well, because was it Bitch Sesh that I think they brought this up, that it was such a good point that at what point is he no longer a stripper and now he's a prostitute? Right.
I doubt.
Right. Bolo, he's probably like, this isn't going to be good for my image. Like, can you
right.
Just
right.
not talk
but
about
I doubt
that.
He was rolling up in there with like an NDA. I mean,
right.
Can you imagine the press that he received from that? I mean, I went onto his Instagram and was like, what does this guy do? And one, let me tell you, his Instagram is boring AF. And right. also
you have to go to his OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. Like, no, I'm not going on OnlyFans, bro. Like, but I guess I need to watch it. It's on my DVR that he was on Watch What Happens Live this week. Did you see that?
Oh, I didn't. Oh, I need to watch that.
So I gotta catch up on that.
Okay, should we move on to Dallas real quick? Jessica, how would you feel about your friend hiding crickets on your pizza?
Fine. Right?
You wouldn't be in the bathroom making yourself throw up?
No, and I was surprised Brandy was doing that because she seems like she's kind of a down for anything girl. I was like, this isn't really your image, is it? I mean, I'm allergic to gluten, so if they're calling these gluten-free crickets and they're hidden in there and I didn't know and I couldn't taste them, whatever.
Right, if she didn't even know, that's what I don't understand about, like, she didn't know they were in there. She swallowed the bite. It was fine. I don't know.
I don't know. I still like, why can't I think of her name right now? What is her name?
Tiffany. The new one.
Tiffany. I still like Tiffany. So crickets
or
not.
You don't.
No, I do like her.
Yes, yeah, so do I.
I love her. I think she's good for the show.
I also want to stay at that house that they're in.
Oh my gosh.
It's incredible.
Girl, I like trying to Google it to see how much like it costs. I was just on their website. There was no pricing. And I was like, man, what an awesome.
You get like 45 women to go on a girls trip. We can afford it.
Well, okay, it's mom's retreat.
Yes, that would be so fun.
We're just not going to take a party bus in, so that way we can just drive right up to the house.
Right.
I'm over this fight with Carrie and Deandra, though. Carrie does nothing. All she does is talk about tequila and how she has no money, and I need something else.
Carrie, you get that from me, so.
Right.
I think Carrie's gone after this season if she needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's trying to use it as her lily pad away from her husband, but she's running out of tarmac here. She cannot get this plane to lift off.
Yeah. I'm enjoying watching Cameron. And did you see that there's like some drama Brandy posted? You know, she just had a baby and she kind of alluded to that she was going to leave the show. And then Stephanie like was talking to Page Six and other places saying like, no, she's not. She didn't say that.
Oh, but
Brandy hasn't come out with an official statement. So it's like really ambiguous.
I honestly didn't read it, but what I had heard is she is leaving the show. So I need to dig in.
Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, good riddance. I'm done.
Yeah. I'm excited for Miami to come back though. Did you watch that original? Two seasons?
Do we know who the cast is?
No, but I just saw that two of them are not coming back and Leah Black is one of them.
Okay, good. Cause she was my least favorite.
I can't remember the other one though.
How long ago was that on?
Oh man.
Oh God. I have no idea.
Maybe like early 2000s. Okay. Like, I need to know what happened to Mama Elsa.
But is it only coming to Peacock?
Yes.
What?
That's annoying. Yeah, NBC's like NBC Bravo, all the things. You know, Peacock's their new streaming service.
So So, but they're only going to put it on there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which Peacock is free. So I don't know if you have, I know, but there's like a paid section too. So I bet you this is going to be under the paid part. Season one of Real Housewives of Miami was in 2011.
Oh, okay. So still 10 years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Have you guys heard though that they're going to do an all-star cast?
I hope that's true because
I will die.
So pumped. Okay. Jessica, who would be on your all-star cast?
I think Sonia, 1,000%. I also think Leah, but I love New York. So New York can do no wrong to me.
She'd be good for it.
I think Portia.
Oh yeah.
To like turn up the party. But I was trying to think like who would bring the drama. Like, is Jen Shaw too much energy? Do you think?
Oh, she'd probably be great with all those other.
There's no too much in this category.
I think it would be funny to see Vicky there. I'm not a Vicky fan, but to see her with the young blood, if you will, I think that would be it.
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
Just watch her head spin.
Yeah.
You're right, maybe, she'd be woohooing the whole time.
Or maybe Ashley from Potomac.
Oh, yes, that would be a good one.
Giselle would probably bring the drama.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who would be on yours, Heather?
I mean, definitely a lot of the ones you named. You know what I would love to see is like Jen Shaw go against Ramona. So much chaotic energy.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
But I also think, see, I go back and forth. Do we want the OGs back for this or do we want them just gone forever? Because like,
that's true.
But like, is a Nene going to come to play? She's going to try and make her gifts and that's all she's going to do.
Yeah.
Her sound bites.
I never want to see Tamra again.
No.
I have a bad feeling they're going to bring her back.
I think so too.
I definitely won't watch.
I don't know.
Because she's, well, I mean, I guess we'll see how it shakes out. Maybe they won't even bring it back if they're bringing Miami back.
I honestly think OC's got to go.
What about Erica Jayne?
Oh God,
that's all so crazy.
Yeah. I really, really, really hope that they dig into that this season.
If they don't, Beverly Hills is dead. We need to start getting into this behind the scenes. I know they all have a pact. Like, we're not going to talk about the real stuff and like, you know, Dorit's bankruptcy or whatever that situation was. Mm-hmm. But we need, otherwise that franchise has nothing. We need to start talking about this. Otherwise, you are Meredith Marks and get off my TV.
Did you see the cast photos that they released for Beverly Hills? And Dorit looks like she's a completely different person.
I did not see the cast photos, but I have seen pictures of her with a whole new face. It's crazy.
I saw one today on Instagram at not Jagger's party. She looked like Shakira.
Oh my God, she did.
It makes no sense. Her accents change every season. Her face changes every season. I mean, you got to give her that. She's given us something.
I mean, it's not bad work. I mean, she looks great.
Right.
She just looks completely different.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll be in a new house also?
Dorit?
Yeah.
They'll be living next to Jax and Brittany. And did you guys watch Vanderpump?
Yes. I do not want it to come back. No more contacting, please.
I don't want Vanderpump Rules to come back, but I'm so curious to see all these women evolve to moms.
Oh, God.
No, you're over it? I'm like
morbidly curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll dip in and out of their Instagram for sure. But
I saw on Instagram yesterday, Jax. So Jax is buddy-buddy with Rand. And apparently Rand has taken him on as some kind of like associate producer.
Oh no.
And he posted this whole love note to Rand about like, basically you're my soulmate. Like, he's never posted anything about Brittany like that ever, or let alone even thought it. And then this other post was him sitting next to a chair, you know, like on movie sets they put like their names on the chairs. It was Robert De Niro's chair, and Jax is wearing like dungaree overalls and like looks like, you know, like his true self. And just
Brittany just posted that they were on a baby moon and it was her, Jax, and Lala. And I was like, I wanted to be like, take it from all the moms that have kids. Like, just take it with your husband.
Oh my please. God.
Honestly, though, if I was married to Jax, I need somebody else there too.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Okay, Jessica, do you watch Married to Medicine? I am currently, I've never watched it before. I just started it. I'm on like season 3. Nobody else watches it. And I need to
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't. I'm
sorry. Oh, you guys, you're missing out. I can't even tell you. These bitches are the shadiest mofos I've ever seen. They're the best. I mean, like, I am cackling laughing. If you thought Atlanta was good at, like, you know, like
on my list. I'm slogging through Dance Moms currently. I'll do it next.
Oh my God.
Stop Dance Moms and get on Married to Medicine.
Dance Moms, does that still exist? Like new episodes?
I'm catching up. I like dipped in and out. Now I'm it's terrible.
Just read an Us Weekly article and move on. You need to be watching Married to Medicine. It is so good. You guys, I can't, the husbands are like a major part of it. We have MLM scandals. We have like there's this whole like fat shaming storyline that comes up season after season. There's there's the typical cheating husband. There's like financial issues in their medical practices. You guys, it is so good. There's an accusation of lesbianism. It's got everything the housewives have. We had a physical altercation in the first season. You guys, so good.
How many seasons have there been?
I think they're about to start 8, right?
Whoa. Oh,
really? That many?
I think.
Is this like you got to start at season 1 kind of thing or no?
So season 1 and 2 are kind of slow. I mean, like they're good, but it really hits its stride around season 3.
Okay.
Which I feel like is pretty typical of any Bravo show.
Yeah.
But it, you guys, I am, it's such a delight in these dark times. It's so good. I just have to share this line because it is so funny. So there's Dr. Heavenly, who I don't love, but she's messy as hell. And she gives the best shade ever. So one of the husbands has been accused of cheating and they go to a strip club and like all the girls do. And one of the strippers comes up and is like, I know your husband. It was like this whole thing. And so one of the other wives is married to a plastic surgeon. So they're doing like this like sexy party to like promote the office. And so Dr. Heavenly goes, you better not bring Darren. She's like, do you see that flyer? They got naked ladies on that. And she's like, Darren can't stay away from the ladies. Just like I can't stay away from the lunch table. So good.
They should hire you to do their marketing.
You guys, I'm telling you that I've seen previews for the new season, which seems really good too, because they're touching on like social justice and pandemic life because they're doctors. It's just, I'm telling you, that is your middle of the night, you know, like up with the baby show. So good.
No, the middle of the night up with the baby show is 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, are you watching you're that? You're a fan. Okay. So I'm not watching the most recent season. I have so much to do.
I know.
Stop watching Dance Moms.
I've got to get through it. I'm already in this deep.
You're wasting your time.
Oh, I need to know. I want to see the scene when Abby Lee Miller rides her scooter down to the police station to tell on one of the moms. I need
YouTube
to see it.
Thank you. Just Google what episode it is and just cut straight to the chase.
I need the context.
It's just yelling at poor children.
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm just going to cut that whole Married to Medicine bit and just send it to Andy Cohen.
Could you please? I yes.
Hire this ginger to do your marketing.
I think you guys saw the Andy and Anderson tour?
No.
Oh, I thought
My friend lives in the city and she invited us, but I don't remember. It didn't work or
okay.
It was like a weekday or something.
Oh,
did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it when it was in San Francisco. It was so good.
Oh my gosh.
Is this something from Before Times?
Before Times.
Okay. I was like, no, I haven't heard of this.
You know, the AC2 tour that they always promote like all the time pre-COVID, okay. Where they went to different cities and just chatted and bantered and whatnot.
Yeah.
Thank God. I love their relationship.
Yeah.
It's coming back to me.
Remember Concert? I thought about those the other day.
God, I wish.
Oh my God. gosh, a theater. Like, I want to go to a show so bad.
I want to go on an airplane and like sit next to gross people. Not anymore. But imagine, you know, that was such a luxury of the past.
So a year ago, I think that's like right when we started following you, and you were at Alt Summit, right?
I know. It was literally a year ago yesterday that I put up my install, and I'm so sad. But that was like, you know, a huge highlight of my year. And I think you guys would totally love it. It was a blast. But yeah. It kind of, you know, I put so much heart and soul into getting there, you know, getting selected to do an install. For people who are listening that don't know, Alt Summit is a conference. It used to be in Utah, and then it moved to Palm Springs. It covered 3 different hotels, and it was for bloggers, creatives, entrepreneurs. And I was selected to do one of the stage backdrops, which wasn't balloons. I partnered with Oh Happy Day Party Company, and we, you know, they helped provide supplies for me to put up. Anyway, so it was a lot of work, but so much fun. And I felt like there was all this momentum, and I was talking to some brands about maybe doing experiential design for them at future shows. And then they just like crashed the week after, but I'm glad I had the opportunity, and I still made some really good connections, but yeah, man.
Crazy to think about. I know totally. What's today? 3rd. So the 4th of last year, I was in Mexico, just living the dream. It's crazy.
And Heather, didn't you post that you were like in Disneyland recently? Like
A year ago last week, we were in Disneyland. So that was hard to see pop up. Honestly, I think St. Patrick's Day is going to be really hard for me, because that was the day that they announced like all schools are, I mean, we were already out of school at that point, but it was kind of official, like we're not going back to school this year. And I just remember it being a really hard day, because it was like,
you were already out of school, meaning it was like spring break, or they pulled you out because of COVID?
So it was the 13th, and I only remember that because I was put on the Suns dance for my kids' school, and it was like that day that they canceled it, and then they canceled the dance, and then we're like, we're not coming back next week, and then, yeah.
Okay. It all blurs together. For some reason, like March Tuesday, like sticks out in my mind of like, I just remember like I locked myself in my room and like just had like a breakdown. I was like, what is happening?
So many of those.
Oh, so many of those. But that was a big one.
God, I know. Can't believe it's been a year. Thank you so much for doing this. It's been so fun to chat, and I can't wait to see what you do in the future. I mean, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You're going to do big things, I think.
I hope so. Bread and joy, a balloon at a time. Here we go.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been so fun to talk to you and talk to someone who's not a 2-year-old or my husband. So thanks for having me in this little girl chat.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Okayest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.